drinker. I'd drink on the weekends, but never during the week. But for a six-month period, I drank continuously, and I thought to myself, why are you unhappy? You have everything. And I just said, hey, universe, what's going on? Why am I not satisfied and happy with where I am in my life? Because I had everything. I had a loving partner. We were going to retire at around 50, age 50, which was 2 years later, and travel Australia and then travel the world. And it just, I couldn't believe that I wasn't happy. And that question to the universe was answered the next day for me in the form of a email inviting me to a chant meditation weekend. And going to that chant meditation weekend led me to Peru. And that was the start of my awakening, so to speak.
So it was the question. And the question is, why aren't I happy?
Exactly. And like by all reason, I should have been happy based on what my mind had led me to all my life. So as a 16-year-old, a friend and I got a book out of the library saying how to hypnotize people. So what happened was I hypnotized him. We lit a candle and I read from the book and I hypnotized him. When I unhypnotized him, he told me about this beautiful feeling that he had and connectedness with the earth, and I thought, oh, this is great. However, his mum turned up, so I didn't get to be hypnotized. She took him home. And I thought, as a 16-year-old, I wondered, can you hypnotize yourself? So I stared at the candle, and after about 10 minutes, I had an open-eyed vision that came true 2 days later. So as a 16-year-old, I realized that the mind was very powerful, and that's what I followed for the rest of my life. So for the next 32 years, I based everything on the power of the mind. And that led me to asking that question, why am I unhappy? And then the universe answered. I went to Peru. I looked at shamanic medicine, so plant medicine. While I was there, I participated in shamanic ceremonies. I drank ayahuasca. And it was upon meditating in these shamanic ceremonies that I had my realization. And I had my guides and my angels come to me and show me that I wasn't connected to my heart. I had to stop trying to still my mind and connect with my heart. And as soon as they showed me this, within 10 weeks of truly connecting with my heart, I released 40 pounds or 18 and a half kilos of weight, and I cured myself of Hashimoto's disease, which is a thyroid disorder that I'd been taking medication daily for 10 years.
So that's awesome. So as soon as you started balancing yourself in your spiritual health, your physical health improved, which is something that I'm an advocate of, like, it works top down. You go from the spiritual to the physical. Uh-huh. And anything that happens in the physical is a result of the spiritual or emotional or mental, those higher planes that have their effect on our world. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
I was going to say exactly, but what we're taught from a very young age is to follow our mind, not our heart. And that reverses the situation. So instead of being in a place of contentment, we're in a place of discontent. And that's led through handing all our power over to our mind.
So we find ourselves completely, and this, in a way, this is analogous to what people call being in the left brain, being in the thinking logical space rather than the feeling inclusive space.
Yeah, look, I tend not to go deep with people. what I do is I talk to them about feeling rather than thinking. And the way you feel is you connect with yourself, and the place to connect with is with your heart. And in doing that, you're able to connect with your true self or your soul. And in being in alignment with the soul, you're then not out of alignment with yourself. So you don't have any arguments within yourself where your mind can say, well, you did that wrong, this, you're not good enough, and all this sort of thing. So very simply, if people just feel rather than think, then they're automatically on their journey of self-realization.
Exactly. I mean, if you tune into this program, you're definitely on the process of I would go as far as to say is that you've already been spiritual in past lives, and this is kind of, it's like you're in the same, you know, say in the same school in with different clothes on, you know, different
uniforms. Yes. Yeah, and that's exciting, and like today's a very exciting day because it's a very powerful time where people can accelerate their self-realization and moving into what everybody talks about is ascension. So one of the things I'd like to do, if we can, is do a quick connection of the heart.
Okay, so a little disclaimer, if you are driving in LA on your way home from work, maybe not a good idea to go through this. Maybe listen to the archive and do it later when you get home. Likewise, in the unlikely event that you're operating heavy machinery while you're listening to this, it is not recommended to do so. So, having disclaimed any liability of damaging people's brains, on you go.
Okay. Now, everybody, if you just take a couple of deep breaths and just imagine this beautiful divine light coming down from the universe and just resting on the top of your head. Now, this divine light is healing light sent from the universe with love to heal you, to fill you with love, and to reconnect you. To reconnect you with your heart. To reconnect you with your universe. To reconnect you with your infinite self. And to reconnect you with your God. In a moment, you're going to allow this beautiful, divine, healing light to enter your body through your crown chakra. And as you do, it's going to slowly saturate your entire being. Every cell, every muscle, every organ, every bone, every nerve, every fiber, every part of your being. And as it does this, it heals you. It fills you with love and it reconnects you. Now, allow this beautiful, divine, healing light to enter your body through your crown chakra. Allow it to saturate your entire being. Feel it as it flows down through your head. Allow it to flow down your neck onto your shoulders. And as it does this, your muscles relax, they become loose, you're at ease, you have peace, and this beautiful, divine, healing light sent from the universe with love is saturating your entire being. Notice now, as it flows over your shoulders and down your arms, all the way to the tips of your fingers. Follow it as it saturates your chest, your stomach, your lap. At the same time, it's flowing over the back of your shoulders, saturating your shoulder blades, your ribs, your lower back, your buttocks, and traveling up and down your spine and central nervous system. this beautiful, divine, healing light sent from the universe with love is saturating your entire being. And as it does this, it heals you. It fills you with love and it reconnects you. It reconnects you with your heart, your universe, your infinite self, and it reconnects you with your God. Follow it now as it saturates your legs. Feel it flow over your knees, into your shins, your ankles, your feet, and all the way to the tips of your toes. Now, allow this beautiful, divine, healing light to continue to enter your body through your crown chakra. Allow it to continue to saturate your entire being. As you allow this to happen, just listen to my voice and follow my words. And with the fingers of one hand, just gently tap the center of your chest between your breasts. This is your heart chakra. This is where you send and receive love. Feel the vibration where you are tapping. And where this vibration is, just imagine a ball of light, a ball of love. This is your heart chakra. Now, from your heart chakra to my heart chakra, send a ray of light, a ray of love. And as you are doing this, I'm doing the same with you. We are now connected heart to heart. When you connect with your heart this way, you step away from the control of your mind. Your mind has got you where you are today. Your mind is trapping you where you are today. Your mind wants to keep control. When you connect with your heart this way, your heart steps away from the control of your mind. Your heart is not controlled by your mind. Your heart knows your true self. Your heart knows your life's purpose. And your heart knows how to achieve it. So whenever you have a question in life, physically tap your heart. Connect with your heart. And ask your heart that question. And you'll receive the answer that is true for you. So now just focus on your heart chakra, that ball of light, that ball of love in the center of your chest. Now grow your heart chakra. Grow it so it covers your entire chest. Grow it now so it covers your torso. Grow it even further so it covers your entire being. You are now seated in a beautiful vibration of love. This love is self-love. Self-love will heal you. It will wash away and dissipate all negative emotions and traits that do not serve you. Now, allow yourself to know that at any time during the day or night, with your eyes opened or your eyes closed, you can return to the space you're in right now, this peaceful space, this calm space, this healing space, this loving space. You can return to this space any time, day or night, eyes open or eyes closed. All you have to do is tap your heart and connect with your heart. So now, allow yourself to open your eyes and enjoy the vibrations that are flowing through you and around you. And thank you, JP, for allowing me to share that.
Excellent. Well, that's the show, and we'll be back next week. Yeah, just sit there for the next hour and 40 minutes contemplating all that. Well, in lieu of that.
would you like me to explain what just happened?
I would love you to explain what just happened.
Okay, so what that is a conscious connection with your heart. As most people walk through their day, they do everything subconsciously from their mind. The connection with the heart is a way of living your life consciously, so that every decision that you make, you can make from the heart. And all of a sudden, your life becomes a conscious experience, and you create the life that you want, not an unconscious experience, and allow your mind create the life that you don't want. Because your mind may not have the same agenda as your true self, or as your sole purpose for this life. And that's why when you achieve things through the mind, you achieve them, you've manifested them, but you're not happy, which is where I was back in 2011. Once I connected with my heart, I was shown connected with my heart, that led me to my life's purpose, which is to connect people with their hearts and allow them to heal themselves. And in doing that, by being true to myself, I live a life of peace, joy, love and happiness. Whereas before, when I was earning really good money and achieving lots, I wasn't happy because I was following what I thought through my mind is what I wanted.
You know, you're perhaps not familiar so much with my show, but one of the things that I do on the show is that people call in and I read their soul energy.
And, okay.
And that is, it's you know, as I said, I mentioned the seven rays earlier, and soul energy is basically one of seven rays. And there's also the monad, which is the higher level of mind. But the essentially, your soul energy is what expresses through your heart, and it also expresses through the inner child. So when you find something that is in line with your soul energy, you get excited like a kid. It brings you back into that, oh, man, yeah. That lovely kind of, there's no pain, there's no, you know, it's all excitement, it's all joy and happiness, it's in the moment.
Exactly.
And that's the energy of the soul, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly what the heart connection does. And it's a simple tool for people to bring happiness, joy, peace and love into their life. And what they're actually doing is they're bringing in that unconditional love. So as they bring unconditional love into them, and this was shown to me in the visions, what was going on with me. The reason I released the 40 pounds of weight or the 18 kilos of weight was because the unconditional love came in. I removed negative emotions such as fear, doubt and guilt. And therefore I did not need that excess weight as a physical reminder of my worthlessness. Even though I didn't think I was worthless, that's how I actually felt. And it also allowed me to get rid of the disease I had. My body was at dis-ease because I wasn't happy, and it manifested a disease to say that I wasn't happy. I just wasn't listening. And through the heart connection, bringing in the self-love is what heals you. And it all has to do with staying centered in your heart. So your soul energy.
Exactly. I mean, it's exactly what I say like all the time. Disease or illness is a conversation. It's like, it's your body's last resort to saying you're doing something wrong. You're hurting me. Stop that. You're hurting. But indeed, when we find our soul energy and, what these readings do is, there are seven energies, obviously, because there's seven rays. There are subtleties within each one. Over and over again, the the energies of the rose and the way it plays out in individual people's lives is a kind of spot on process. You know, there's very few anomalies that I've come across. It's very rare that I don't get someone. And sometimes I get something that nobody else knows about them.
Okay.
we have one listener called, he's a show host sometimes as well, Hijacker, and I totally blew him away because he felt that he knew everything, you know. It's like, how do you do that? What's your technique? How do you find out this stuff? I'm just speaking from the heart, knowing the teaching. It's like, I put my head in service to my heart. I think that's the best way of putting it. And that's when you become combined intuitive and intellectual.
Yeah, and that's totally correct. When you operate from your heart, so the mind is very powerful, and I talk about the mind being a very powerful instrument, because that's what it is. It's an instrument. It's meant to get us where we're meant to go, not to lead us. So it's a tool to be used. Your heart is meant to lead you. So your mind's like the engine of a car. It gets you, it's the motor that takes you where you need to go. The heart is what steers the steering wheel. As you were saying, when your heart's centered, then everything can come to you. The mind can create anything. The only thing it can't create is unconditional love. And that's why when you operate from your heart through unconditional love, there is no ego attached to the outcome. So you're able to access clear information and clear channeling and clear healing, and whatever power centers you're operating from, you operate in conjunction with your heart.
So, when you're, how do you deal in your heart with matters of, when somebody, you're just driving down the road and you do something, somebody pulls out, this is the usual thing which takes people out of their hearts, right? Somebody pulls out on you.
Okay.
And they do something wrong. It could have been dangerous, and all that. Imagined stuff, as well. But how to keep a cool head when, normally a hot-headed response, which is often kind of justified, they're bad, they're breaking the law, You fool, what's the deal there? How do we work with that?
Okay, how I deal with that and how I share with people to deal with that is, immediately get to your heart. So what that does is it disengages the attachment to anger or another emotion that you have through your mind to the event or situation. So as soon as you feel a negative emotion come up, and in this case it might be anger or frustration, you tap your heart, you drop down to your heart, and you go to that place of peace, joy, and love. And for me, what I find is I laugh. I have joy come up because I think, well, that was my mind trying to engage me in a negative attachment within an event that really, has no power over me. And that goes for, people, grumpy checkout people or whoever it might meet in society. So someone comes to you or is it placed in front of you who's having a bad day and they're all in chaos around them. Instead of connecting mind to mind with them, you connect heart to heart. And that disengages your attachment to the way that they're expressing themselves. And in doing that, you're able to come from a place of love, love them for the beautiful soul that they are, but not be drawn into their chaos. And we all have this. We all have, the friend who rings us and after 20 minutes we feel like we've just been, you know, playing rugby union or some football game where we've been beaten up. We just feel so tired and drained. What that is you have engaged in a mental attachment with their event and their situation. So the ideal thing to do is when someone is speaking with you, you connect your heart with their heart. You ask your heart, should I help this person or should I talk with this person? And if your heart says no, then you need to respect yourself and allow yourself to step away from that situation. So say, oh, JP, great to talk with you, mate, but next week let's catch up for coffee. I'm really busy this week. And what that does is it allows me to respect myself. I've honoured myself, so more self-love comes into me. But it also gives you the opportunity to either, one, say, oh, I've got to stand up for myself and work this out myself, or two, go and latch on to someone else. Either way, I've respected myself and I've allowed myself unconditional love.
And indeed, it might be that your friend actually needed 20 minutes of your energy and no more.
Exactly.
And that you're serving them. You know, there was one time, I was hanging out in a group of friends, and it was a dining hall of the community. And there was one person who came. I can't even remember who they exactly were, but I remember the scenario. There was one person, and I was sitting down, just about to eat my dinner, and somebody was just about to come over and have a really big moan. You could see the kind of moan just kind of hovering around just above them. You know, it's like, oh my God, I can see this one coming. And something in me kind of snapped. And what was their name? I don't know. Let's call them Dora, for want of a better word. I don't know anyone called Dora. And I said to her, Dora, please, I can't deal with this right now. I'm sorry. I might have even been ruder. Like, just leave me alone with that crap, you know, or something like that. But anyway, whatever I said in that time, you know, and I thought that I was being really rude to them. A couple of weeks later, they came back to me and said, Jay, the thing that you said to me, you were right, and I'm really sorry. And, I realized, you know, that the whole process was catalyzed by my irritated reaction to her. Because it was from the heart. It was like, I am not prepared to take this crap today, right now. And that is the rage part, the courage in just having the courage to be irritated in public towards somebody. It's quite an interesting process.
Yeah, and in fact, you allowed her the space to take control of whatever that event and situation that she wanted you to help her with for herself. So that empowers her.
Exactly. Exactly. It was empowering for everybody because, until that time, I wouldn't have dared to say anything like that to anybody, you know. But, so, I'm a lot more irascible these days.
So the heart connection in itself can be used for anything. So every decision that you make, you make with your mind, you can make with your heart. And in making it with your heart, you bring in all this self-love. Right, and this self-love will change your life. It'll actually take away the chaos, and instead of having, you know, a perfect moment, a perfect minute, maybe even a perfect hour every couple of months, all of a sudden this is happening every day because you're not in contradiction to yourself. You're totally respecting yourself. And the universe is saying, well, look at JP. he's looking after himself. Let's throw him a couple of things. And they'll throw you gifts that the person you need to speak to get, you know, get yourself a loan for a house, or, you know, the person that you need to speak to take you to your soulmate, or whatever it might be. And in doing that, in listening to your heart and understanding how your heart speaks to you, your life just begins to flow. You've still got the bills to pay and all these other things. However, they don't control you. You're able to operate from a place of love, make decisions from that place of love, and not from a place of confusion. So your whole life changes. And I should add, one of the things the heart connection does is it reopens people. So I've worked with people who have lost loved ones. And the first thing that happens when they lose a child or a parent or a sibling or a dear friend, the mind sends the chest area a signal to say, you're in pain. And people close their hearts. Now, the heart only feels love. Love in various degrees of vibrations. But only love. It doesn't feel pain. That is a feeling created by the mind, which is used to control us. Now, yes, you've got to go through grief and that, but you're not meant to stay in that grief. And what happens with these people is when they connect with their heart, they open their hearts, and they actually allow the energy from the loved ones in. So you have responses like, oh, I felt my mother for the first time in 20 years. Okay? I felt maternal love that I've never felt like when she was on earth. All because they've unblocked their heart by taking that blockage away that's been put there by their mind. So by staying connected with their heart, even when someone leaves this plane, you're able to feel their love and feel their energy.
So it's a very interesting thing, the old fact that the heart is on a frequency band that that appears to transcend universal physics laws, as we are taught them, let's say. But that, yeah, you can feel the presence of another being, even if they may not be in a body anymore.
Exactly.
And it's instantaneous. It doesn't matter where they are in the universe. They can be in communication with you instantly.
Yeah, it's true.
So... You found that, so where has this taken you? Where have you have become, you know, you're about to retire. What happened?
I realized I was unhappy. I went through a series of visions in Peru and they continued in Australia. And what I discovered in myself was that I was living according to my mind, which wasn't the agenda that was my life purpose. So I had to change the way I lived. So I followed my heart. In the visions, I was shown to write a book and produce a meditation CD to go with the book. So I've done that. And in the book and the CD, the book takes you on a journey. And there's a series of meditations which are on the CD inside the book. And it's a healing journey. It takes you from where you are now. It connects you with your heart and then takes you through a whole healing process. And in doing that, it gives you the tools and techniques to connect with your heart at a very quick rate. So you don't have to do the 5-minute meditation that we did before. You can just tap your heart and you're there. It's also taken me on a very huge journey of self-discovery as to who I am as an individual. And, you know, I have never felt so loved because I love myself, not in a vain way, but just because I have total peace as to who I am. Now, I'm not as rich as I was before I realized I was unhappy, but I'm certainly very much richer in many, many ways. And I feel as though I'm the richest person in the world. In following my heart and in sharing this with people, I've seen people change. You know, they change in 15 minutes. You know, the introduction of opening their hearts to feel a loved one is just amazing. Being able to share this is just, you know, a wonderful experience. To have a lady who's, say, one particular case, she was on painkillers, 6 painkillers a day, had been on these for 5 years. She had 3 back operations over those 5 years. That's why she was on these painkillers, through the heart connection, to be able to release that pain in less than half an hour. Okay? It is truly amazing what you can achieve through unconditional love. And it's the people's own unconditional love. The other thing that happens is when you follow your heart, you're actually following yourself. You're not following any person, any institution, any society. You're following your true self. In doing that, you actually get rid of fear, doubt, and guilt. And there's 3 common things that are used to control us in all sorts of situations as we go through our day. And the release of that fear, doubt, and guilt just energizes you. It allows you so much more positive energy rather than being weighed down. All that weight gets lifted. So for me, being able to share that over the last couple of years has been, you know, the most rewarding experience in my life.
So, yeah, just thinking about what it is when you connect with your heart is, it's your highest. Oh, by the way, I don't know if are you touching the screen or something like that? There's a sound it sounds like something's, sort of scratching along the microphone.
Oh, no, that was me.
Yeah. Okay, because it was just a little distracting from what you were saying. So, finding your heart is the process of finding yourself, because I tell you, I don't know if you've heard this one, but there was a time when a man had a heart transplant, and after the heart transplant he discovered that he liked different kinds of music and liked different kinds of food. In fact, his whole taste had changed to something. I mean, like, before he was like a redneck and he liked country and western music, but after the heart transplant he had he liked fine classical, and he was getting, you know, he was very refined, and discovered that the heart belonged to a young violinist.
Well, that's amazing, isn't it? And it shows that our physical heart has a brain of its own. And I've heard of studies that show that the physical heart has actually more information to give than what our brain does. And when you connect your heart center, which is, you know, your heart chakra, when you think about if the power of the physical heart has that power, how much power does the heart chakra has, which is directly connected to the universe?
So by connecting with the heart, we connect with the higher self, with the soul and the higher self. Do you see differences in quality between, where do you go in terms of incarnation and the eternal the eternal being that we that manifest us as beings here on the planet.
Okay, so through these visions, I was shown a number of things, and the most important one that I was given was to keep it simple. And the simple version is that if you just worry, if you just connect with your heart, anything that's happened in a previous life will be taken care of by unconditional love. So you don't need to know about who you were or where you were or what you did. All you need to do is allow the unconditional love to come into your being and to be built in your being through your heart. And that will basically dissipate anything that's happened in the past and allow you to move forward in your journey to ascension. So that's the simple answer.
Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second. There's about 5,000 New Age light workers who make a living out of clearing people's karma from past lives.
Well, they can continue to do that. And if your heart sends you to go and get that done, go and get that done.
So, but you basically, in connecting with your heart, you do connect with a certain, like I was saying, what your taste is. Who you are defines what you like. For instance, you know, everybody's got a unique record collection, or we used to have record collections. I don't know what they have now. Mine is all on these hard drives. You know, I've spent the last 3 weeks trying to concentrate all the hard drives that I've had since 1995. You know, all the collections of music and video, and trying to put them all onto one sort of massive terabyte disc. It's taking ages, and most of the discs are broken. And I suppose that's a bit like past lives as well. You know, you don't, it's sort of deteriorates with time, maybe. Yeah. So, getting to know who you are is partly about getting to know what you're like. You know,
exactly.
I like peanut butter. You know, I don't care that I have, whether I have it on toast, or whether I have it on rice cakes, or oat cakes, or papadum. I like peanut butter. I don't care.
Okay. So what actually happens with people who connect with their heart, and I found this with myself, is what I thought I liked, I didn't. I used to like watching TV. I used to like drinking alcohol. I used to like listening to music that I don't listen to anymore. And what that like was my mind telling me, you like this. And I knew no better at that time. So now, once I've asked my heart, should I watch this TV show? Should I do this activity? Is it for my highest good that I read this book? My taste in everything has changed. And by asking your heart the question that should I, is it for my highest good that I, you narrow down exactly what it is in your life that you need to do to remain your true self. And you find that you drop these addictions that your mind has created. I'm not saying that your peanut paste is an addiction, but for me, there was a number of items that I used to have on a regular basis that I released. I didn't have to go through cold turkey. I just released them because I was listening to my heart and not my mind. And that's how we get rid of the many addictions that we have. So it might be smoking, it might be alcohol, it might be on the internet all the time, it might be anything. But you'll find that your heart will tell you what is good for you. And like I said, for me, it changed my behavior, what I thought I liked.
So analogous is in the recent year, I've found that there's been an overlay of what I like to eat because of what I've been forced to eat over the years, you know, by your parents or your school and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are addictive, you know. Carnivorous activity is addictive. You get bloodlust, you know, you get a wanting to eat meat. And bread and wheat is also addictive, and sugar indeed. And they all come from the fermentation of these things, and it all used to be good, and then it's been altered, and so it's become more addictive. It's more chemical, it's more addictive, and like you say, it's like less organic, which is more like heart based, and more industrial, which is kind of mental, it's more mind based. It's like a analogous connection here. Where am I going with this? I think it's basically, when your body knows what it likes, it won't tell you in words, but it'll show you.
Yeah, well, your body, when you ask a question of your heart, your body will speak to you, or your heart will speak to you through your body. You'll hear it. So some people hear it like an audio, yes, no. Other people feel it in their body. So for me, I get a yes as a elation feeling in my heart center. I get a no as a contraction in my stomach area. But I've shared this with a number of people, and you know, everybody gets it differently. You know, I've had a lady who gets her heart speaks to her by squeezing her a pain in her left toe for yes, a pain in the right toe for no. And that's how it speaks to her. Now that might evolve over a period of time, but that's initially how it happened in the training. Or you may get a tingly sensation throughout your body for a yes. Or you might feel a little bit of a sickly feeling in your throat for a no. So your heart will speak to you. It's just a matter of tuning in and understanding how your heart speaks to you when you ask these questions of it.
Interesting. It sounds very much, again, an analogy to what we call kinesiology, which is muscle testing. And so it's something that I've been doing for several years now, which is I put my thumb and pinky together and then try and pull them apart. And if it's a yes, there's strength, and it's like they're magnetized together. And if it's a no, they just come apart. And and I'm doing it as I'm speaking. But I've now got to the point when I don't even need to use my other hand to try and pull them apart. I just try and pull them apart with its own, you know, just trying to pull the two fingers apart. And they stick together still. It's unbelievable. If my body is flowing and I put them together, I've trained my body, and it will instantly give me a positive or a negative on that.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Exactly. And I've seen people use the heart connection with a pendulum. So with a pendulum, you can get a positive swing, a negative swing, or more information swing. And because they don't have the sensitivity at this particular stage, they find using the pendulum connecting with their heart, they're able to elicit the answer that they need.
Which is also, your heart is connected in with the, you know, the electromagnetic grid, scalar grid, that connects it with every other heart. And everything's got a heart that is alive, including the galaxy, including the sun, including the earth, etc. Mm. So when you connect to the heart of you, you connect to the heart of everything. And that's what we call God, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. And what you realize is that you are God. You're God in this form, in this being that you are, the structure that you're in right now. And by keeping that connection, you honor that connection with your God. So, and in doing that, you bring love in. You actually radiate love out to the world.
And it, I was having a conversation with a good friend today, and we're talking about it, this increasing energy that seems to be going on, and that it tends to create sort of layers of aura that are very specific distances away. And I'm led to thinking of Kepler's law, which is that planets rotate at very specific distances away. And so that our heart has, it's putting out a radiation in some way that, that has these standing waves in it. It's like ripples, as if we were standing in water and there were ripples coming out from us. And these are the things that we feel when we're in the presence of another person. In fact, when we feel, when we're in the presence of lots of other people, it's very hard to keep your heart center open because of everybody else's transmission. It's not the problem of sending. The problem is receiving, because often we receive everything. You know, as soon as you open up, it's like walking out with 10 transistor radios, each tuned to a different frequency. What's your strategy for being open-hearted in a large group of people, particularly people who are not happy, apart from avoiding it?
Okay, so say I was in a crowd of unhappy people. They're not unhappy in their hearts. They're unhappy in their mind. So by dropping down to your heart and connecting with their heart, there is no unhappiness. You just feel them for the beautiful souls that they are, and that's unconditional love. It also helps you to drop away from their chaos. They're projecting with their mind. So they don't project that with their heart, they project that with their mind. If you stay in your mind, then you get enveloped in that projection. You get caught into that in a mind-to-mind attachment of chaos. Drop down to your heart, connect with those people with their heart, and that drops you away from that attachment. Even if you're the only one in the room who's doing it, it allows you to be in that space, in a heart-centered space, and allow you to operate from a place of love.
Operating from a place of love. Your heart will beat several times before we come back. Don't go away. What awesome timing that was. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. Tonight, Patrick Pope and his journey, his personal journey, his spiritual journey, his psychic journey, and his visionary journey, by learning that hypnosis could affect your brain at a very early age. You went on various quests at different times, each adding to the puzzle.
Yeah, that's correct, JP. When I came back from Peru, when I had the awakening in 2011, I shifted from being mind-centered to being heart-centered. And that listening to the mind has taken me on a journey that's been absolutely wonderful. And if I may share with you an occurrence that happened last year, in April of last year. My heart told me that I had to do a water diet. And not only a water diet, I had to go into the bush and do 10 days silent meditation. So I started off preparing for the water diet by doing 6-day juice fast. I then went out into the bush and stayed on a friend's property, and for 12 days stayed out there just drinking water. I did 10 days silent meditation, and then the last 2 days was I meditated most of the time, but I was able to contact people. And then I moved back out into civilization. While I was there, I had a couple of amazing experiences, and there was three things in particular that was given to me. And the first was that I had to run a healing expo in the town where I was currently situated. The second thing was I had to go to India. And the third thing was I had to go to America. And I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting. I've got to go to India and America. So when I went back into civilization, and within a week I'd received a email from the organizers of the Conscious Living Expo in Los Angeles asking me if I wanted to come over and do a free lecture on the heart connection in February 2014. So I thought, oh, this is really strange, because I was just given that I was going to America. This is the way that I'm going to go to America. And that's what's happened. The other bit was I had to go to India. And in particular, I had to look at healing techniques of the chakras. I also had to look at toning. And the third thing I had to look at in India was other meditative practices. So regimented practices, not practices where, you know, I just focused on breathing or being still. It was to look at other modalities of meditation. And that occurred last year in November and December. I went to India. I visited a hospital there that you have Western trained doctors using Eastern medicine, and that medicine that they use is just energy. So I was able to have a look at that and experience that and see how they clear the energy centers, and then the exercises that they give people to help maintain that, to help them raise their vibrations in their body to look after themselves. And in this hospital, they actually treated sick people from various, you know, degrees of sickness, to being terminally ill, to having the common cold. So that was a great eye-opener for me. And from there, I actually went through India. That was in Mumbai. I went down to Goa. I went up to Bangalore. I went into Pyramid Valley and I spent time there. And then the last part of the journey was the toning. And I went and, over a 4-day period, received 7 90-minute sessions with a master Tibetan bowl healer, and experienced what toning does through the body. So bringing your vibration through your body, through your chakras, back into alignment, and how that can help heal your body. Now, all this I did while still remaining connected to my heart. And in this journey, I found people who would attend these places who, obviously were still connected in their mind space. So they were able to accept healing through their mind, but that healing may not have been permanent. And from what I was able to see was that as you connect with your heart and connect truly with your heart, that healing remains in you as you remain in a heart-centered space.
Well, now, what you just said was very significant on lots of levels. One of which is the actual timing of what you've been talking about. You've mentioned 3 months, April, November, and December. Now, regular listeners to my show have been hearing me bang on for years about the waves. And last year, in three times, I experienced a wave affecting me in a conscious, transformative way. And guess when they were? The first was in April. And I was sick as a dog, literally. I had to look after my girlfriend's dog, who's a husky, who's a sort of wolfy kind of creature. I was incredibly sick. I was convulsively sick and you know, everything. My body completely purged itself. April, that was. All right. And then November, I had another kind of big, more minor crisis, because I could feel it coming. And the first thing that I did is to stop eating and go over to a really simple, bean sprouts or, you know, raw vegetables, which is, you know, lettuce or something like that. And I would eat like just a piece of lettuce or a cucumber in a day, which is very unlike me. You know, I was a cake and pie guy. The pounds are falling off. I just published a photo of myself on Facebook and everybody's clicking like, cause, you know, I'm quite, you know, it's slowly happening, but if you take it over a year, it's quite, you know, it's quite marked. The difference is going on. And so in April, I got the impetus to stop eating meat from the death industry, or eating any product from the death industry, which is like, you know, industrialized meat to hamburgers and prepared foods and all that stuff. And in November, the impetus was to get away from wheat, which was another toxic thing that my body was responding to. And then in December was another kind of a further cleansing. So, you know, it feels like we're experiencing the same impulses, but experiencing the different, you know, having our own personal experience of them. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly. And congratulations on the weight loss. Well done.
Thank you. My girlfriend keeps, she likes me when I was fat. She said, like, you know, I like a good bit of flesh on you. But she now says, you're so skinny all the time.
With a German accent.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's from Berlin, yeah.
Now, I think one of the questions, is how do I continually return to happiness? And happiness is a state of the heart. And how you continually get back to being happy, because I had a number of major decisions that I had to make. And it's been in honoring my heart in making those decisions that I've become happy. Now, people may not have to make the decisions that I had to make in following my life purpose. Whatever your life purpose is, it will be shown to you as you follow your heart. And it may be that you operate in a position, we call them checkout operators. And it might be that you're a checkout operator and that you connect heart to heart with every person who comes through, and you lift them energetically through the heart connection. So when they're in their mind and it's a down day, or you know, someone's cut them off as they got into the parking spot. By connecting heart to heart, you actually have a higher vibration entering their field, which lifts them. So being that checkout operator is the most beautiful life purpose that a person could have. My life purpose is my life purpose. Your life purpose is your life purpose. And as long as you're truly following your heart, then you will be happy. And this is where abundance comes in, and manifestation. Manifestation is created through the heart. True manifestation. how you get that is you attach to the item that you want. I attach your heart there with people, use what I call a heart screen. So you have the screen you put up in front of you, and you send a ray of light, a ray of love around this heart screen. And on that heart screen, you project what it is you want. And the vibration that you're surrounding what that is that you want is love. And it is through love that that comes to you. Now, of course, if you've got a goal in life, the first thing you need to do is check with your heart, is that in alignment with your heart? So I had a goal that I wanted to go to Europe this year. And because I'd met, when I was in India, all these beautiful people from Europe. And I was thinking, this would be good. And once again, I was thinking. So I had to drop down to feel, ask my heart, should I, is it for my heart's good that I go to Europe? And remain where I am. In doing that, I remain in a state of happiness and in a state of love.
So, sorry, I got a bit of interference there. Can you just go through the moment of realization there again?
The realization of how to manifest things through the heart? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all it is if you have a goal in your life, check with your heart first, should you go for that goal? And if your heart says yes, then go for that goal. The way to manifest it at a faster rate is to be able to use what I call the heart screen. And you just meditate. You bring a screen, like a TV screen or a movie screen or a laptop screen in front of you. You connect your heart to that screen, and on that screen you put or you project through your mind the item that you want to achieve. What you're connecting your heart to the heart screen with is unconditional love. And it's through that unconditional love that you're able to make that result appear in your life. So what your heart will do is put you in the right place at the right time to talk to someone who will help you achieve what you need to achieve, or, you know, give you intuition that places you where you need to be. Did that clear it up?
Yeah. So that this is it wasn't that I didn't understand. It's that I got interference on the signal. So your voice was broken up. But that's great, because you kind of went into a bit more of a depth, and I think that people really got that. I mean, I certainly got it. I could certainly see a screen in front of me and a kind of projector beam coming out from my heart and la di da di da. So. Do you have, I mean, you say you tap your heart. Can you talk about exactly, like, do you, your left hand, right hand, how many times, you know, can you scratch it? Do you thump it? Do you, how do you contact the heart? And, can one be too aggressive with it?
The tapping is only to create a vibration that will allow you to drop down out of your mind. It's actually the vibration in the heart center that allows you to focus in that area, and that's all you need. After you've done it for a while, you don't even have to tap. It's just that we're so used to being in our minds that we need to have a trigger to drop us out of our mind and into our hearts. And so I was shown by my guides and angels that the trigger of physically tapping your heart actually creates that vibration so that people can feel where their heart center is, and it gives them a focus. So they can focus down into them, into their heart center. The tapping mechanism or the technique, I just do a light tapping, and that's what I share with people. Some people tap like a 3 quick tap, 5 quick tap, you know, they tap continuously, or you just tap, drop down into your heart center, and while you remain there, you don't have to tap again. And if you're meditating, what you do is, if your mind starts running off with, oh, I put the washing in before, I better put them in the dryer now. Oh, hang on. Tap your heart, bring yourself back. So it's a trigger to bring you back to being centered as well.
And of course, it is the center. Like we were talking before about the menorah, the 7-branch candlestick. The idea is that you see the invisible half of it. You see them as 3 concentric circles, and each of which it's an esoteric model that that connects the different chakras together in the different initiations. That's how you project that. You know, people talk about ascension. They you know, imagine that it goes from the base center up to the crown center, but it actually works through these concentric circles. And I'm not sure you're aware, but in hyperdimensional physics, they have a thing called the Searle effect generator, and it involves 3 concentric rings spinning in opposite directions. So there's a lot to do with that symbolism in physics as well as in mythology and symbology. So it's interesting that you brought up that particular symbol.
Yes, and we actually, for the listeners, we actually spoke about this off air before the show started, and I was explaining a conversation I had with a gentleman about the menorah. And the really interesting thing about it was, and he did not realize this, that the menorah, when you stand it upright and the candles, the 7 candles are there, you have the main stem with 1 candle, and then you have 3 candles each side. And if you turn the menorah sideways, those 7 candles line up with the 7 chakras. And the main stem chakra, the one that connects all the other candles or chakra points, is the heart center. And he did not realize that. And he had been focusing on the menorah through his mind. And when that realization came to him, he just had an epiphany about how powerful the heart is. And how that's shifted everything that he had learned right to that point in time, which was last night.
So here we are. We're in another cycle of April, November, December. It's probably going to be shorter than that. But it certainly feels like a year ago something changed for me. And it seems that, you know, you're on a similar cycle. You know, I've read your rays. You're in the same soul group. So it would make sense that we would meet and talk and, you know, connect through Meili and all of that stuff. So, it's all right and correct, you know, so in the proper timing now. It's just very interesting, those parallels. I mean, my listeners remember last, I don't know if anybody's listening, but I don't know if SJ is listening, but, it was exactly a year ago when I was having this process going on. That I had the husky dog, and I was trying to do a rodeo show in the kitchen, and the dog just would not stop talking, and it's like having a mad person speaking in a different language all the time. It just wouldn't shut up. So I was really having a difficult time, and one of the listeners, SJ from British Columbia, told me a trick of how to get a dog to be quiet and have and give it your attention, which was marvelous. And so I'm still very grateful to you, SJ, for that, if you're still listening. But anyway, it was that time that I had this expression. I mean, it wasn't a great time. I tell you, it was not a great time. I was very, very sick and very, very cold, and feverish and shivery. And it was like somebody was taking me like a great big giant is taking me, grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and shaking me really hard until I got better. Until all the stuff fell away, you know?
Mm. And how long did that process take for you?
Well, a few days. I mean, because I'm quite clear emotionally. And things that take some people take a long time to get over, you know, grief or over, you know, stuff like that. But I've been processed quite a lot over the last few years. So I go through things very, very quickly these days. So only took a few days for me to kind of get back on my feet, so to speak. But after that, it was like, well, actually, what I got in my head this voice that said, "I am your requested upgrade."
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. It was just like it. You know what it was? It was like the installation message. Microsoft Windows Office 97 has been installed successfully. Click OK. It was that kind of message. It wasn't like really loud in my head. It wasn't like an electric voice. It was just like, you know, just as if a pop-up message had popped up on your computer. This has been installed successfully. So I am your requested upgrade. So essentially I am, you know, we all know about I am and the nature of the soul is I am means it is everything, and this is exactly what you've been talking about before. So connecting with your heart connects you with what people in this new agey thing call your I am presence, which is a real thing, and was, you know, it's even spoken of in the Bible. You know, God says, Abraham says, Moses says, "What's your name?" He says, "I am that I am." You know, so and that's why I got connected with last year. You know. And it was a pretty horrendous time, but I knew it was like I'm losing something that I don't need anymore. You know, it was purging very quickly in all directions.
And what you've gone through is listeners may go through over a period of time. So as you truly connect with your heart and listen to your heart, that process will, go about, in most cases, in a much more ease fashion, because your heart will just take you on a journey and dissipate these emotions that are going through you to allow you to progress to the next level. The I am is your heart will open you up and allow you to understand exactly the presence that you are. That you are connected to everything and everyone. You are connected to universe and divine. And in divine is included God. So once again, you are, I am everything. I am universe. I am one with.
I am another yourself.
Yes.
In Lakesh. That's the, you know. Let's talk about something in South America, huh? You went to South America and you did the thing. Now, I remember that there's a TV presenter here in Britain who went to Peru and did the thing. And he said that what he experienced was a 6-foot salmon in a trilby hat saying, "Hi, dude, how's it going?" Presumably you had a similar experience.
My experience was that, and when you participate in shamanic ceremonies and you drink their plant brew and you go back and you meditate, what your experience is purely your own experience. However, I experienced a number of the visions I had in Peru prior when I was in Australia in the years leading up, yet I didn't trust them. when I went to Peru, I had this feeling of total trust. So I opened myself up to my heart and I started to trust these dreams and visions that I was receiving. And my entire time was all about learning about connecting with my heart, because my guides and angels came to get me on the very first meditation. They took me up through, I think it was about 11 different veils or dimensions, and sat me down and said, "Patrick, stop trying to still your mind, connect with your heart." And I thought, "Aren't I?" And they said, "No, you're not." And then they proceeded to show me how to connect with my heart and how to be my true self and how to listen to my heart. And in doing that is how I lost the weight and cured myself. They also showed me my life's purpose, and that is to connect people with their hearts, to help them be their true selves, to find their life's purpose. And so I accepted that life purpose. And from that point onwards is where the decision was made within myself, in my heart, in my connection with my God, my universe, my true self, that I would follow this no matter where it would take me. And that means understanding that if there's a hard decision and my heart says, you know, I have to go one way, I have to go that way. Because I know that by not being true to myself, all I'm going to do is put myself back to where I was in 2010, which was in a state of unhappiness. So I was never going to be unhappy again, and that was my decision. What it's also done is it's opened me up and allowed me to realize that the dreams and the visions that I have when I just do my normal meditations, I can check to see if they're true. And I do that by connecting with my heart and asking my heart, you know, should I listen to that vision? Should I understand this dream more? You know, is it for my highest good that I do that? And when I check in, I find that more and more these dreams and visions are coming in alignment with the direction of where my life is heading. So things like meeting people. So recently, before I came to America, I saw this gentleman who appeared in my dreams twice before I came over here. Then when I was at the expo, I saw him and I met him, and we actually ran a workshop together. So that was my heart guiding me through my dreams that I was going to meet this individual, and that through meeting this individual, not only would I work with him, but I'd learn so much about myself that would advance me on my path even further. So where has it taken me? It's taken me to absolutely trust and believe in what the universe gives us, and how to identify what is given to me by my heart, by the universe, through my heart, as opposed to what's created in my mind. And it's as simple as tapping your heart, connecting with your heart, asking your heart that question, and listening for the answer within yourself. And as you get that answer, honoring that answer. And as you honor that answer, more and more will be exposed to you in your life.
It's interesting, you know, I'm trying to formulate several questions at once, so let me just try and work back. But it does seem to solve a lot of the problems of today's world, because today's world has lost its heart. It's lost compassion. It's lost the understanding. You know, there's zero tolerance this, and everybody's got to say the right thing using the right correct words, you know, political correctness and all that stuff. it's often very difficult because the heart says what it says, you know. It speaks its mind, as it were. It speaks its, you know, people say, you know, they shoot from the hip, they speak from the heart. There's a, it's, what I think what I'm trying to say is it's revolutionary to speak, to truly speak from the heart, because people say they're speaking from the heart, but like you're saying, they're still in the mind. It's still part of the drama.
Yes.
The drama is a mental process. It's not, it's a kind of combination of mental and astral in the worst possible combination, because it's like manipulative and emotional and clouding and obfuscating at the same time. So it's, you know, it's, that's how manipulation happens. So.
May I share something with you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, last year I was traveling around Australia to the capital cities. And what I was doing was I was running workshops each week in a different capital city. But as I did this, I would go to New Age stores to promote my book because I self-published. At the end of this tour, I went to a little country town, well, 70,000 people, a country town in Queensland, and held a one-day workshop. While I was at that workshop, I expressed something that happened to me. And what had happened was, while I was on this tour, this flood came. It was the biggest flood in 200 years on recorded history in the particular town where I had all my possessions stored. And it washed away the storage shed, and the insurance company would not honour the insurance because I hadn't told them I'd put it into the storage shed. So I'd lost everything. What happened was you could feel the people in the room go, "Oh, that's bad," you know. There was a low vibration emotion sent. What that does is, if you send a low vibration to a event, circumstance, or whatever, that just condenses the situation. And I pulled them up straight away and I said, "Hey, when an event like this happens, what you need to do is, if you send unconditional love from your heart to the event, it actually allows the condensed energy that's around that event to lift and raise, and that allows healing in. So it allows the healing of that event to occur at a faster rate. So when we see earthquakes around the world, we see war zones, we see political uprising and all this, the greatest asset we have is unconditional love. And if we connect our heart to the event or situation and send unconditional love, that will change the event. By being worried and concerned and frightened or fearful, all that does is send a negative low vibration, which makes the energy around that event heavier and more condensed, which will take a much longer time to heal. So I was watching a Greg Braden video, and he was saying that they've done tests and where they can prove that it only takes the square root of 1% of people to change a situation. So if there's 1 million people, 1% of that is, I suppose, 1,000. And then the square root of 1,000, whatever that is, I'm not a mathematician, you might be able to answer it, is all you need of people who are truly connected to their heart to connect with that event to help change that event. And they'd done tests, I think it was in Chicago, on crime rates and things like this. So they'd actually brought people together and did tests over a 3-month period. And it just shows that however we project our emotions, so if we project emotions from the head that are, from our mind that are like a low vibration, we're not really helping a situation at all. However, if we truly connect with our heart and we project from our heart unconditional love, we don't have to send healing. We only have to send unconditional love. And that unconditional love will do the job of what is necessary. So I actually found that to be very interesting.
Excellent. Sorry, I've just missed the last paragraph of what you're saying, because I'm trying to find out where the square root key on my on my calculator is, so that I can find out the square root of 10,000. Could somebody do that? Just find a calculator. I want the square root of 10,000, and then we'll know how many per million. So, but the thing is, yeah, it's about what they call the 100th monkey syndrome, or the ability for one person to entrain the vibration of a multitude of people, because a pure vibration sings out very, very clearly in the chaos. It's like a light in the darkness. It's seen from miles away and it affects miles away. One tiny candle at the top of a hill in a lantern can be seen for miles. Think about that. The photons are going everywhere for miles around. So we can see that a small, and I call it an entrainment. And, this is to do with, putting a rhythm. If somebody, in music, if somebody is there, putting a steady rhythm, everything else in the room, in fact, it comes from a heartbeat. If you have one person who's got a very steady, strong heartbeat, that pulses out through the room, and people entrain. That means their heartbeat tends to match towards the beating of the person with the strongest heartbeat in the room.
Yes. May I share another part of a vision that I saw which lines
Go
up
ahead.
With... Yeah. You were talking about the candles and the one candle, how far it can shine. So if you were to have mirrors in place, you would be able to shine that light even further. If you imagine that those candles are actually hearts and that those mirrors are hearts. So as I connect with your heart, I connect from my heart to your heart with unconditional love. I'm actually not just connecting with your heart. I'm actually connecting with every heart that you've ever connected with. And in doing that, I'm using my vibration to assist the vibrations of every person you've ever connected with, and vice versa. By you connecting with me, you're actually connecting with everybody I've connected with. And in doing that, we're creating this grid that's going around the earth. And we're consciously raising the vibration of everybody. So as we consciously do this, the earth changes. People change the way they feel. So all of a sudden, you're getting more and more people come and think, oh, heart-centered, not mind-centered. And as we do that, we move the planet Earth into the... what is it, the next phase of its evolution. So your candles are shining brightly, and then the heart matching other people's heart is spot on, and we need to do it consciously.
Excellent. 31.5 is a square root of 10,000.
There you go.
Sure. 31.5 seems a bit low for the square root of 10,000. I'd expect it like 315, maybe. Maybe it's 315. Are you sure? 31. She said 31.622776.
Whatever it is, it's not a million.
Yeah, and it's considerably smaller than a million. Is the and. What it means is that one person can affect a large group of people.
Exactly. And one person connected to their heart not only changes their own life, it changes the life of those people around them. So as you connect with your heart, you internalize this self-love. And the self-love then allows you to heal yourself. It's in healing yourself that you then radiate love out to those around you, and you're able to help those people heal. So you're, what is it, 100 monkey syndrome? As one person does it, then the next person does it, the next person doesn't. All of a sudden, we've got a whole community. And that whole community has changed their whole environment. Not only their own personal environment, but the planet's environment in that area.
And I was talking a few days ago, or actually I wasn't talking. I was listening to a show the other day. It was Dr. Ibrahim talking about geometric form and the radiation, not the radiation, it's hard to say, but it's the energy that expresses out from this simple form, like just like a wireframe geometric figure, like a tetrahedron or a pyramid or something like that, how the harmony of the phase angle is what creates the radiant field around it that makes it, that makes everything harmonious, in much the same way as the person with the strong heartbeat. It entrains geometrically through phase angle. The gentleness of certain things and the harmony of certain phase angle. I mean, basically what phase angle is how in step people are, you know, rather than everybody going at the same time, it's like going 1, 2, 3, sound off, 1, 2, 3, 4. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. The geometry, the sacred geometry, the vibration that it puts out is unconditional love, which is the very first vibration. And it is that same vibration that we all have inside of us, that we all are searching for. It is the same vibration that brings us peace, joy and happiness. It's unconditional love. And when you look at a piece of sacred geometry, if you connect your heart with that piece of sacred geometry, you're actually connecting with unconditional love. And in doing that, you're assisting that vibration to resonate further than the structure that it is by itself. So when you looked at that pyramid, when you looked at that tetrahedron, as you connected with it, it allowed the vibration to connect with you and then resonate out further throughout the universe.
So, this again is along the lines of the scalar or gravity wave idea, rather than sort of electromagnetic, which is what we're used to, like emanating as waves. There are other waves, and gravity is one of them, and it's intelligent, and it propagates instantaneously. Mm. You know, that it doesn't. It's faster than light.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's now everywhere.
And we haven't got, or we haven't been shown by our scientists, or through science, we haven't been shown yet that they can actually measure exactly what the heart can do. They're getting there, but we haven't been shown that. And when they finally realize how powerful the heart is, then that will shift them in a direction that will alter the way science has been targeting their thought or their discoveries for the last 120 years.
So So, we've got about 10 minutes left. You've got a book. You've got a website. You're all set. You're on the road. You've already been doing this. What about some of the... how can I put this? You know, the downside of it, basically. I mean, there are some things that you might think, oh, well, that's a bummer. But, but you move through it, and everybody, it works out well for everybody in the end. Have you got anything that happened like that?
No, because, like, even the losing of all my possessions through the flood was like, well, that's the universe telling me that I don't need a home base for a while. And it released me of attachment with all possessions and allows me to be free to, you know, travel the world. So, no, because I stay in my heart, you stay in a place of love, peace and joy. And yes, you come across people who might be rude and things like that, but that doesn't affect you because you're not in your mind. Once you go into your mind and you start attaching to a event situation, that's when the other emotions can come into play, like anger, frustration, helplessness, you know, woe, poor, pitiful me. But that's not the case when you're in your heart. When you're in your heart, all you get is love. And you know that you're supported. You know that you are loved. You know that you have happiness. You know that you're going to be looked after. And you don't base your expectation on results or wants. It's just a matter of being. And in being, you know, you just have this energy that comes through you. So that's your connection with the universe. And it comes through into your heart and then spreads through your body. And the way to do it, the way to get to that position is to consciously connect, to consciously make decisions from your heart. So when I walk out of here soon, I'm going to switch on a light and I'm going to ask my heart, should I switch on this light? And if my heart says no, I'm not going to switch that light on. So I go to the fridge and I look at the food and I think, should I have turkey tonight? And if my heart says no, I'm not having turkey tonight. And what that does is just keeps me heart-centered the whole time. So every decision you make with your mind, you reverse that and you make it with your heart. And all of a sudden, instead of your mind controlling you, your heart leads you. And your heart knows your true self. Your heart knows your life's purpose. And your life becomes a joy.
Okay, we've got some comments in the chat room. There's a bit of a debate over at Wall Spirit some of them are saying, for instance, unconditional love is not easy to achieve. Take some practice. And... the response is, what you are achieving is a higher form of love, but never pure unconditional because you chose to live here in a limited life. You can't possess love or it is not love. Unconditional love is completely possible to have, some people. So there's quite a lot of differing a spectrum of opinion, let's say. So when you, here's when the thing, it's like, is it possible to achieve it? And can everybody do it? And yes, how?
Yes. They can do it consciously. And if you choose to believe that you can't have unconditional love, well, you're choosing that. Everything is a choice. We have free will. That has been stated so many times. So your free will is that I choose to have unconditional love. And you get unconditional love. No attachments.
And as you say, it's the mind that says, oh, no, 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 I can't do that.
Exactly. And if something triggers you in that way, so if you were to say something to me that I retorted to you in a way that wasn't from love, that's coming from the mind, and that's my attachment to what you've said. So that's not unconditional love. However, I can listen to what you say. I don't necessarily have to agree with what you say, and I can reply from a position of unconditional love. So I can reply from my heart.
Patrick, yes. Pope, how do people read your book? How do people get to your website? Do you do a regular blog? And do you have a YouTube channel? In that order, now.
All right.
Or whenever you feel like it.
Okay, the book and CD are available on the website. You can get that by going to www.astonishyourself.com.au. Just remember the AU on the end for Australia, and you'll be fine. I run workshops and seminars. I've been a bit lazy lately and haven't put them up on the website, but that's changing. I'm told that I have to get more efficient, so I'm doing that. Apart from that, they can send me an email if they've got any questions. So once again, if they go to the website, they can contact me.
Excellent. So, I've just posted in the Wolf's Red chat room. I'll copy that into the Revolution Radio chat as well. Even though you just read it, but there we go. Astonishyourself.com.au. Thank you very much, Patrick Pope. The music will be starting very soon. I'll see everybody next week. Patrick, are you making any other appearances soon?
I'm actually going back to Australia in 2 days. And then I come back to the States in the middle of May. So nothing will be happening until the end of May here in the States.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you very much. Patrick Pope, there we go. This has been another journey. And the journeys with JP. We'll see you all next week for another leg, another arm, or other body parts. Have a fantastic time. I love you all. Good night.